We'll turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Our Lord blessed a little while ago where a brother preached a message here in the region, and it was a great blessing to me, opened up some things to me and understanding to me that I'd not had before about these passages and the thing that's at work here. And this is, and that's the way it is with us. We learn things. From one another and from brothers and sisters in Christ. We learn our Lord uses different means to teach us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the way the Lord works. And this was a real blessing, and I pray that it can be a blessing to you. I know if you hear the word of the Lord and hear Him and believe Him and trust Him in what He's given us, it will be a blessing to us as we worship Him in it. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses is here, dealing and speaking to the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord. And in verse number 15, we read this. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I want to preach a message this morning with the Lord's blessing and help. We need the presence of our Lord. We need the presence of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we need your help right now. We pray, Father, that you would bless in every way. Remove all the distractions, Father, from our hearts and our minds and things of the past week, things of the week to come. And Lord, help us that we might just worship you in a way that you'd be pleased. Worship you in your word, Father, and see the wonderful things that you have for us in it. Lord, move with your spirit and take all the distracting spirits, the spirits that are in the world, different things that can come on our hearts and minds, Father. Just remove all those things, and Lord, move with your spirit and fill us and help us and speak to us and feed us, Father, as you only can. We pray, Father, for those that are here not saved, Lord, that you'd speak them, that they might see, and Lord, you'd cause them to see and open their eyes and their hearts and their ears, Father, to their great need and their need of your presence in their life. And Father, we pray that you'd save and bless in it. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake, and amen. We need to back up for a while, and we're going to back up to Exodus chapter 19 to get the context and just take a walk through the scriptures here. Again, this is a reason that we need to read the Word of God and read the scriptures, know the accounts in all of the scripture, and know those accounts in the Old Testament that we might be able to be instructed and learn from our Lord about the things that are in the scripture and the blessings that are here in the scripture. There certainly are helps, there are studies, there are commentary that are put together by good men, good people, people of the Lord. There are good and wonderful things. But if we just seek after those things and those things alone, I dare say that I think we'll be found spiritually and in the Word of God will be found infantile because we need to have what God has said in us that we might be able to glean from that what the Lord has done and what the Lord is telling us, what the Lord expects, what the Lord's great work and plan is. So you and I, there's no substitute. And as we come to the close of this year and going into the new year, there's no substitute with having the content of the Word of God, the Bible, in our hearts. And the thing is, the way that the Word of God works, I've read these passages many times over the course of my saved life, and even before I was saved, I knew about these things. But it's really interesting how recently the Lord just brought this to light and showed these things and what a blessing it has been. And so you need the Word of God in you. And so I challenge you in the new year, put the Word of God in your heart. Here in Exodus chapter 19, we come to a time that children of Israel have been delivered out of Egypt. A mighty hand and arm and strength of the Lord has been shown and manifested there. 10 plagues upon one of the strongest nations in the world at that time to release their slaves. 10 plagues. Plagues that focused upon all the gods of Egypt and destroyed and tore them down, the opinion of the Egyptians regarding their gods. God is the God, and beside him there's none other. And he proved that. He even brought the plague of the death of the firstborn. And he made a provision for his own people, didn't he, over there in Goshen, Israel, those 12 tribes and the mixed multitude that were there with them. He made a provision for them that their firstborn not be killed, because when the Lord deals with sin, he deals with sin. And you've got to have something, someone to have done something for you regarding your sin. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover. And so they've been delivered. Egypt goes from saying, oh, you can't go, you can't go, I will not let you go, to get out of here. You can't get out of here fast enough. Whatever we've got, if you want it, take it. Get out of here, leave us. And then we know at the Red Sea that Egypt's army and Pharaoh were destroyed. The Lord takes his children, his nation that he has birthed at that time, he takes them to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, the Lord's going to do some things. He's going to reveal himself unto his nation in yet a greater way. It's very private. It's very personal. It's just the nation. Oh, yeah, there's millions of people, maybe a half a million, million, million and a half, maybe 2 million or upwards of 3 million of the children of Israel. But it's just them. It's just them. Them and the Lord. They're at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb. They're one and the same. The Lord had made a promise to Moses. Moses said, how will I know that you're going to do this? And the Lord said, you'll know and you'll be comforted and assured in it when you go and you take that people and you deliver them and you show back up at this mount to worship me. And the Lord's brought that to pass. In this chapter 19, Israel is camped there and he gives a promise, a covenant, if you will, in verses 4 through 6 about what he will do and his requirement of Israel there in verses 4 through 6 of this chapter. In verses 7 and 9, the people commit to it. What God says, we'll do. We will do it, they say. And then there's preparations in the balance of the chapter to set bounds around the mount. Because if cattle or people come to this mount, and I want you to remember this message in regards to our study in Ezekiel in coming weeks, Lord willing. Remember that, because there's, if you got too close to the mount, you weren't called to the mount, you would die. You would die. And so those preparations are made. In chapter 20, a hallmark passage, every child of God ought to know about this chapter, the Ten Commandments from the Lord. And, you know, something that's missed here in verses 1 through 17 about this is that these commandments given, do you realize that God spoke these commandments from the mount unto the children of Israel? He spoke them. They heard the voice of God Almighty speaking from the mount unto them. Verse number 18 says, and the people saw, of chapter 20, and all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Well, there's quite a contrast there, isn't there? The ongoing, Moses has been speaking with the Lord. He's enjoyed close fellowship with the Lord from all the way over there in the desert. He's been speaking with the Lord. Now, he reverences the Lord. He's not haughty or cocky or head up in any way. But Moses enjoys that. And I think we find here a time that when the Lord does speak from the mount, Moses is somewhat taken back. The people, you don't want God speaking to you? This is a great and wonderful thing. Moses said unto the people, verse number 20, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. This is a good thing. And look at this. There had to be arrangements made so the people wouldn't come too far to the mount and see the spectacle of the greatness of the Lord. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It was just something that they had never seen before. The Lord coming down on Mount Sinai. They had to set bounds. And look what it says in verse number 20 now. Verse number 21. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near. Coming on to this new year, what's your intention? What's your purpose? You going to stand afar off? How's it been in 2016? Have you stood afar off from the Lord? Want to be connected with the Lord, but don't want to get too close to the Lord. Or we're going to seek to be and have looked to be like our brother Moses, who he drew near. He said, it's good to be near the Lord. It's good to be in a place to where you can hear the voice of the Lord. The people stood afar off, and Moses drew near under the thick darkness where God was. See, with our Lord near, we never have to be afraid. If God's not afraid, we don't have to be afraid. Now, we need to fear our Lord. We need to reverence Him and know who He is and know His ability and power. But He is our Father. And He loves us. And He never does anything that's not good for us. In verses 22 through 26 in this chapter 20, there's a command for sacrificial worship. You know what? You and I don't have anything like that. We don't have to build an altar. We don't have to gather up wood. We don't have to raise sacrifices. You know what you and I get to do? We get to pray to our Lord and give Him praise and thanksgiving and prayer. We go to Him for our need and we worship Him in that way, and that He is the one that we need to work in our lives. We just did it this morning where we sing. We sing into the Lord. We sing about Him. We sing about what He's done for us. We sing about what we desire of Him. We sing about His promises that He's promised us. There's our worship. There's our sacrifices. You know, we can do that here, and we should do that here, and we should well do that on our own too. Publicly, privately. Do you draw near to the Lord and worship Him during the course of the week? Or is it something that's just kind of, you know, that's just too much. That's being fanatical. That's kind of going too far. You talk to the Lord about your problems. Talk to the Lord about your fears. Talk to the Lord about your needs. Talk to the Lord. You talk to the Lord about the things that you don't understand, or you wonder why they are the way they are. Do you talk to the Lord about your struggles? Do you draw near to the Lord? Do you and I draw near unto the Lord? In chapters 21 through 23, ordinances and commands are given. And of course, all things moral, we are yet given of the Lord to abide by. There's this great conflict about the law of God. Well, the law is passed. The law is done. The law is over. But you can't go murder someone and it be okay. So there's things moral, and then there's things given ceremonial and sacrificial to the Jews. And so that's a subject for another time. In chapter 24 of this book, the covenant of the Lord in verses 1 through 8 is given, and the people's commitment. It's interesting there that even this covenant that Moses writes down, it's sealed with blood. The Lord's covenant has always been one regarding blood, all the way back to the beginning, right? Where I think Adam taught his sons to give the first fruits and bring that offering before the Lord. You know, you can't bring grapes to the Lord, or watermelons, or leeks. You got to bring life to the Lord. And of course, the lambs, I believe, the sacrifices, those animals, whatever they were, I figure it was a lamb. That's what had to be offered before the Lord. And the first of the flock was offered to the Lord. A principle from the beginning that the tithe is the Lord's. And the Lord is honored in that. He's worshiped in that. And then in verses 9 through 11 in chapter 24, you know what? The people are afraid, but the Lord says to Moses, bring the priests and bring the elders. Aaron and his sons and the 70 elders, bring them up here. You know what they do before the Lord there? They fellowship with the Lord. They see the Lord to the extent that the Lord reveals Himself to them. And they eat and drink before the Lord. No closer fellowship than you can have with anyone than to sup with them. And they eat and drink there before the Lord. I find that interesting. And so they see the Lord and they fellowship with the Lord in that. They see the Lord. And then the Lord calls Moses up to be on the mount with Him for 40 days and 40 nights in chapter 24. In chapters 25 through 31, we've got the instruction for all the tabernacle and everything inside of that. It's given by the Lord. It's going to be the place where the Lord's going to dwell on this earth amongst his nation, amongst his people. It's not going to look like much from the outside, but it's sure going to be glorious on the inside. And it's going to be the place there, the ark, the Ark of the Covenant. The Lord's going to dwell there on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. Nobody's going to be able to go in there. Moses is going to be able to approach at times, but in the end, it's only going to be the high priest that's going to be able to go in there. You know what? The Lord's called you for what he's called you for. You don't have to worry about what the Lord's called me for. I ask you to pray for me, and I need to pray for you, but you and I need to obey what our Lord has called us to do. Do you know that? Have you drawn near enough to the Lord to know what his call is of you? Or are you like these people that want to fall back and say, well, I want the Lord. I want the Lord to be handy. I want the Lord to be as close as I want him to be. And we live life for ourselves. How is it with us? In chapter 32, we come to this sad chapter. And I want you to hear something here. We were dealing with, on Wednesday nights, we're dealing with what Peter is admonishing us in the scriptures there in chapter 1 of 2 Peter about the things to add to our faith. And it's directly connected with the fruit of the Spirit that's to be manifested, that will be manifested in the children of God, by the Spirit of God within them. And many things that we're told to add are manifested in the fruit of the Spirit. So you and I have a challenge to add. Have you been adding? You know what? How you can know what you need to add? Draw near to the Lord. You know how you can not know what to add? Draw back. Back up. Remember, God spoke and the people were quaking in their boots. Moses said, this is a great thing. Y'all come on up here. It's okay. What a contrast. What a contrast. Where are we with this? In chapter 32, we see here, in regards to the fruit of the Spirit, very much a lack of patience. Listen, God has brought them out of Egypt. He's made them wealthy. He's preserved their firstborn. They have not had to fire one bullet. Hear that? And I know they didn't have bullets then. They did not have to raise one weapon. And they are there whole. They lack nothing. And what happens? Well, it's a testimony about mankind. In verse number 1 of chapter 32, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. No patience. No patience. If God called a man, sent him, gave him miracles to perform to persuade you and me, and then begin to work as a witness. Can you imagine one man going up before Pharaoh? Pharaoh's got the power to cut his head off like right now. But he would go and he would come back. And he would go and there'd be another plague and come back. And he would go and there'd be another plague. Can you hear that? You hear that over the course of those days? He would go and there'd be another plague. And Pharaoh didn't order to have him killed or whatever because he couldn't. Because the power of the Lord's upon that man. And he does all that, and then the Lord says, put up the lamb. This is the beginning. And the 10th day, put up the lamb. The 14th day of that first month that I've established for you, right? He changes their time. He's making all things new. Is he not? And you know what? The Lord says, you take that lamb, you kill it, you catch that blood, you put it on doorpost and the lintel, you take and you roast that lamb, you eat it there with being dressed and ready to go. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And that didn't happen in Egypt because there was no blood, was there? And so they'd come out here to Sinai, where we're at this morning, and Moses goes up on the mount. They've seen the Lord. They backed away from it. The elders, do you think the elders came back and said, Elder, you know, I don't know any of their names. The elder number 23 goes home to his tent. Well, how was it, honey? What'd you see? The elders, you couldn't get them to shut up. If you and I saw the Lord the way they saw the Lord, would we shut up? They told what they saw. And those elders, that was something that was put upon them to be a blessing for them. What did Moses say? That they wouldn't sin against the Lord. That they might be, God is real. We saw him. We ate and drank before him. See, you don't eat and drink with somebody unless there's nearness and closeness. It's just the way that it is. And so then Moses gets called on up on the mount. And 40 days and 40 nights, we don't know what's happened to Moses. We need to wait on the Lord. When the Lord's doing something, when the Lord's working, when the Lord's taking his time to accomplish whatever it is he's going to accomplish, you know what we need to do? We need to worship our Lord by being willing to wait on him. But they couldn't wait. They needed something that they could see. And Lord, help us with that. Lacking patience and faith in the Lord's word and promises. Had he not promised he would take them to a land that flowed with milk and honey? Had he not promised them and showed them that Moses would be the man that would lead them to such? If Moses was up there for a year, they had everything they needed, did they not? And we don't need to rail on them, but we need to look at them and hear the word of the Lord coming to us in our time. They sin against the Lord, as you know, in the account. And in chapter 32 and verse number 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." They committed to keeping what the Lord said. "They have made them a molten calf and worshipped it," and so on, "sacrifice to it, and have said these things, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Our Lord threatens to destroy Israel and make a great nation of Moses. You're called of the Lord to be the leader. You've got this great host there. They've sinned this way, and the Lord says to you, "Get out of my way. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to make a great nation of you." Okay. That would be the selfish answer, wouldn't it? "Well, if you say so, Lord." I mean, there would be nothing wrong with that if that's what the Lord purposed and intended to do. But you know what being near to the Lord does? You know what Moses did? He interceded for the people. He interceded for the people. And we understand that the Lord doesn't need to be reminded anything, but this is the way the Lord works. He deals with us in the way he's created us. And our brother was blessed having seen that the blessing in the work of the Lord. He threatens to destroy Israel, make of Moses a great nation. And our brother intercedes for this people. Verse number 9 of chapter 32, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Look how the Lord talks with Moses. God is not aloof. He has every right to be aloof. He has every right to separate himself from us. But you know what? Our Lord's intent and desire is to be near and to visit and to fellowship and to work in us and help us deal with life and our service and our walk before him. He's not off somewhere. He's the best friend that you and I have. My wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God. We beseech the Lord our God. And said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. You know what that means? Just what it says. Praise the Lord for an intercessor. You know, and that's what, if you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus as your intercessor. I praise God, I have him as my intercessor. In verses 15 through 18, Moses goes down. He's got these tables that are written on both sides by the finger of God, it says in chapter 31, verse number 18. Two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. You know, that's a way you and I can understand and know this Bible and this scripture that we have. It's written by God. He takes those and he breaks them. And he and Joshua... You know what? Joshua's still there. Joshua, the servant of Moses, went up with him so far, and he didn't go back and check on the crowd. He stayed right there. Joshua was faithful. Can you imagine being camped out on the side of the mountain, all this thick blackness and going on up here on the mountain? You got the host of the Israelites down here, and you're told to stay here day 17. Day 21, day 30, day 32, day 35. Would you be getting antsy? Would you and I be getting antsy? Joshua stayed right there. That was his job, to stay right there. And you know what? He did it. He didn't know what was going on down in the camp. You know why? Because he stayed right there as he was appointed. He was content with the assignment that he had been given to stay there. In verse 19, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh, that is Moses, into the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Listen to this, verse 20. And talk about a meek man, talking about a man under control. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. You think about a man making a half a million people, million and a half people, get down here and drink this water and drink this calf up that you so wanted. You know what? He had boldness in the Lord and power in the Lord because he was near unto the Lord. And they knew it. He deals with Aaron in this in the verses to come and rebukes him. And then he makes the declaration in verse number 25 through 29. Who's on the Lord's side? Verse number 26. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And so there's a chastisement of the Lord upon the camp. 3,000 are killed. Oh, that seems really harsh. Listen, they have gone against God Almighty who has delivered them. He rebukes the people for their sin in verses 30 through 35. You've sinned a great sin, verse number 30. You've sinned a great sin, And now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, O, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. He could have gone back and said, you know what you said? What you said otherwise, you know, what you said a while ago about making a nation of me and destroying them, I'm really for it now. Zap them and let's get on with it. See, Moses was a man. He was filled with the Spirit of God, but he had the burden of bearing the burden of dealing with those people. And he loved them as much trouble as they caused him. As much trouble as they caused him in his mind and estimation, and how unreasonable it was for them to cause so much trouble. And he intercedes, doesn't he? Yet now, if they will, you will, thou will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray, out of thy book which thou hast written. It's the same thing that the Apostle Paul said. My heart's desire is for Israel that they might be saved. If they could be saved by me being accursed, I would wish it so. It's impossible for that to be, but that was his true desire. And so it was for Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. That's my business, Moses. I'll take care of that. He says here in verse 34, therefore go now, lead the people into the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. We have the first indication the Lord says, you know what, I'm going to make good on my promise. Load them up and take off, Moses. I'll send my agent with you, my angel with you. What about the Lord? What about God Almighty? What about the I am that said that he called Moses and was sending Moses to the people? He says, I'm going to make good on my part. They have not on theirs. And I'll visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they had made the calf which Aaron made. Chapter 33, we come to the chapter of our text verse. And let's read here. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, into the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. I'm going to make good on the promise. I'm going to give you the land and give you the stuff, but I'm not going. Do you hear that? I'm not going. Our Lord will always make good on his promises and his blessings. But do you want the stuff of life and the blessing of life without the Lord? That's what our Lord intended to do. He said, I'm going to send my angel. I'm going to give him what I told him I would give him. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Your wickedness, your stiff-necked way, I cannot suffer. I cannot go up in the midst of you. And when the people, verse 4, heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. See, when the Lord says, I'm going away from you, we know that that's bad. But you know what? It's very easy for us. We all have this temptation in our lives for us to back away from the Lord and not think that that's too bad. We can manage it. But you let the Lord tell us he's going to go away from us. We're going to mourn about it. Because see, is it good for the Lord to get far away? Is it good for the distance between us and the Lord to increase? Never. Never. They mourned. They didn't dress up real fancy and put on their jewels and put on their rings and bracelets and all that. They put all that stuff away from them. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. As a child, you probably knew this. Get over there in the corner while I decide what I'm going to do to you, Jimmy. You go to your room and sit there in your room while I decide what I'm going to do with you. Maybe you've done that to your children. You knew you were so hot, you know that they had so disobeyed you, so disappointed you, that it wasn't, I'm not saying it's this way with the Lord, but just needed some time to cool off. As a child, do you remember that dread? That's the dread that they had. Can you imagine the Lord saying to us, you just sit down over there and be quiet while I decide what I'm going to do to you? That's serious business. Very serious business. And the children of Israel, verse 6, stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. He pitches this tabernacle of the congregation, he calls it, outside of the camp, well outside of the camp. Who wants to be near the Lord? You know what? They loaded up their stuff, evidently, and they took their tents and they went out there and camped out there at that tabernacle, that tent. Maybe they prayed, Lord, be merciful to us. Lord, help us. Lord, forgive us. But they wanted to know what the word of the Lord was. There was a remnant indeed that wanted to. Everyone which sought the Lord. Do you and I seek the Lord? Brother Doug referred to the passage over in Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, that's apropos for the children of God too. Not only for the sinner. Everyone that sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent door and looked ever after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. It seems like Moses would come out and would look. And you know what? Those that drew near had respect to that, and they stood up waiting for what the command of the Lord was through the man of God. Then Moses would go back in. Then they'd wait. And I don't know if that happened a number of times or just happened once, but it happened. These people are interested. These of Israel are interested. They're desirous of the Lord and what he has to say. Who you reckon's out there? Tell you what, Brother Joshua's out there, isn't he? Him and his family. Brother Caleb's out there. Brother Aaron, he's out there. Indeed, they are. And it came to pass, verse 8, when Moses went out of the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, a cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. You want that kind of fellowship with the Lord? And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man at his tent door. See, they'd taken the tents out there. They set up. They moved their whole living and existence out of the camp to that tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. You want that presence? You want it that way with your Lord? Do you desire it that way with your Lord? Are you content? You and I content? Are we content with the distance? Or do we want to be near? We want to be near to our Lord. Like he speaks to a friend. Face to face. Moses desired his Lord. He was called by his Lord. He desired his Lord too. When he learned about his Lord, he wanted to know more about his Lord. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Here we see brother Joshua. And he likes it there, doesn't he? He likes the presence of the Lord, doesn't he? Right, brother Joshua said, I'm staying right here. Moses is going on, but I like it being right here. Right here near the Lord. In verse number 12, it says, And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. He rehearses before the Lord what the Lord has told him. You've commanded me to bring up this people. I don't know who you're going to send with me to do so. I don't know if this is a reference to that angel. Yet thou hast said, You know me by name, and I found grace. I found favor in your sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, verse 13, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. I want to know more about you, Lord. I want to be closer to you, Lord. I want to know about your way. I want to know about what you're thinking, what you're doing, that I might find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Once again, Moses is found interceding, isn't he? He intercedes again. He asks for himself. And you know what? He doesn't think about the land. He doesn't think about all the possessions that'll mean. He doesn't think about, see, if the Lord destroyed the whole nation, what would be laying out there in the camp? All that wealth they brought up out of Egypt. And whose would it be? Moses's. He didn't think about any of that stuff. He's interested not in the land, not in the stuff, but he's interested in the Lord. I want to know you. I want to see your way. I want to see more about you. I want to be closer to you. And don't forget your nation, Lord. And he said, verse number 14, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Oh, what a promise. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. The land that's flowing with milk and honey, and all the stuff and the wealth of Egypt, and all those things that I can have, that means nothing compared to being with you, Lord. If you don't go, don't make us go from here. If you don't go with us, in the midst of us, then don't send us away, please. Verse number 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How can it be known? Is it not that thou goest with us? Your presence has been with us this far. And how will it be known that we're your people and that you go with us and all that you've promised? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Why? Because you're in the midst of us. Because you are in the midst of us. Your presence is at hand. He goes on to say here in verse number 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. See, Moses asked. And the Lord committed to it. And you know what? We don't need to think anything different about the way this is other than what we're given in the Scripture. What the Lord dealing with Moses and the Lord and Moses inquiring of the Lord and asking the Lord telling what his purpose would be and Moses asking him to go with them and to consider the nation. And the Lord says, yes, I'll do that. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace or favor in my sight, for I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses desires to see even the glory of the Lord. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious, and to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thus shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So Moses desires and intercedes for the nation. He says, if your presence doesn't go with us, then don't send us from here, because that's what's most important. In chapter 34, the Lord instructs Moses regarding the tables of stone to prepare more. And in verses 4 through 7 in chapter 34, the Lord shows Moses' glory. So much so that Moses shines. We don't hear anything about previously that he shined like that when he was up with the Lord before for that first 40 days and 40 nights. See, understand this, brothers and sisters. A desire to be closer to the Lord and coming closer to the Lord in that will yield yet more opportunity to be closer to the Lord. An opportunity to get closer than that. There is no end to being close to the Lord. This time Moses got so close that he shone. He had to put a bag over his head, a sack over his head, that the children of Israel would not fear because of his appearance. And Moses enjoys that very much. In chapter 34 and verses 8 and 9, it says, and Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And that's what seeing the Lord will do for us. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. He says, we need your presence. He's experienced it. He wants the nation to experience it because he knows that that is the place and the way of blessing. He says, for indeed it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. You know, Moses doesn't disassociate himself from the people. He's not sinned against God. He doesn't say, have you ever heard that before by church members of a church? Well, they down there believe, you know, that saddens me. And it can anger me too. Well, you all doubt. Well, wait a minute. You're a member too. You all. It's us and it's we, not they and them. We're in this together. And Moses was that way even regarding their sin. Verses number 10 through 28. Our Lord gives Moses once again all the commandments and judgments of our Lord. And it tells us in verse number 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't either eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Here Moses is having to do so there before the Lord. Verse 29 through 35, it tells us about the radiance. Again, that we've mentioned that Moses did shine with the radiance of our Lord. Is not that what Jesus tells us? Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men. It ain't going to shine unless we're close. You got to be close. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He said, your faithfulness to our Lord is the greatest blessing that I can have in being your minister of the gospel and your teacher in things of the Lord in the church. See, that's Paul speaking and writing to the church at Philippi. He said, you shining, you being a witness. See, isn't that what Moses wanted for the people? Well, see, being close to the Lord does cause us to desire that goodness and that blessing for others. Not a thing of, oh, I'm up here close to the Lord and everything's great and just pounce everybody else. No, let them come near too. Let them come near too. We need the presence of the Lord. In conclusion, in Psalm 16:11, the scripture the psalmist writes, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Not happiness, as we like to say, or fun, but joy. Joy in the Lord that lasts. Whether things are hard on the flesh or easy on the flesh, the joy of the Lord indeed is our strength. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Also in Psalm 140, verse 13, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." That's who the Lord has around him. You know, we've got to put sin out of our life to draw nigh unto the Lord. We do. That's what drawing nigh to the Lord will do. It will reveal our sin, and we need to see that and repent of it and get it right with our Lord. If you have your Bibles in Jeremiah chapter 9, I want you to read this in closing. In Jeremiah chapter 9, this is a verse that's always been it's been a blessing to me for a long time, and it's just good, and it points us to the right way and the right direction, and such a stuff-centered world. Moses knew and was blessed to understand that not the stuff, not the wealth and riches of Canaan, not that of the wealth and riches of Egypt, but the presence of the Lord was the blessing. And what a terrible thought to think that the Lord would say, "Well, I'll go ahead and give you the stuff that I promised. I'll give you your daily bread. I'll give you your necessity of life. I'll give you a place to live. I'll give you vehicles to drive and things to use. And I'll give you ability and work. But I'm not going with you." May the Lord help us. We need the Lord. We need the Lord with us. And we need to desire His presence. In Jeremiah 9, verse 23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." And we understand all these are gifts from our Lord. But don't glory in those. Be thankful for them. But don't glory in them. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Rejoice in being near to the Lord. Desire to be near to the Lord. "Brother Jim, how do I do it? I feel like I'm in a funk. I'm just tied up in life, and I'm just going through the motions and going through the routine and in the rat race and in the rut." I tell you what, how? Begin to talk to the Lord about it. Begin to go to the Lord about it. Ask the Lord to show you where you've been wrong. Ask the Lord to reveal Himself unto you more, to that you might sense His presence, know His presence. Go to His Word and learn more about Him. And desire Him. "Lord, I want to be nearer to You. I want to be closer to You. I want to see the things that You see. I just don't want to see Your acts, but I want to see Your ways. I want to see the things that You do and what You're involved with and how You work. I want to see You in Your Word." We need the presence of our Lord.